That day, seven women, we will eat our own food and provide our own clothes. Only let us be called by your name. Take away our disgrace. In that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be pride and glory of the survivors of Israel. Those who are left in Zion, who remain in Jerusalem, will be called holy. All who are recorded among the living in Jerusalem, the Lord will wash away the filth of women of Zion. He will cleanse the blood stains of Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of fire. Then the Lord will create over all of Mount Zion and over those who assembled there a cloud of smoke by day and glow of flaming fire by night. Over all the glory will be a canopy. It will be a shelter and shade from the heat of the day, and a refuge and hiding place from the storm and rain.
Father, thank you that your word speaks life and it speaks truth. We choose this morning to accept the word, not only to hear it, not only to consider it, but to obey it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you've read Isaiah or read it recently, and I don't know if you've read these chapters before. They're quite harsh in many ways. The heading in the New International Version is judgment on Jerusalem and Judah. And if you want to find out everything that's going on in that chapter, I'm tempted to say ask you, but he's on mute, so don't. Read it. So whenever we read God's word, God speaks to us. And the first thing to do if you don't understand a part of God's word is not to go to another book or another person, but rather the same person who wrote this book. So even before we read, whether you read devotionally or you read to study or to prepare for something in particular, just ask God to show you, to tell you what he wants you to know. But then the great thing about a Bible like this, and I don't know if we bring the large Bible, but it's a study Bible, so it just tells you other chapters in Scripture, other verses that you can go to, which will explain the verses that we just read. Because pastors included often will read Scripture and not necessarily understand it. And what I don't want to do today is explain everything in Isaiah chapter 3 and 4, but just use it to explain something about basic spiritual needs. That's the title of the sermon. Basic spiritual needs. Imagine we're not in church. Imagine we're, I don't know, in the middle of a desert, let's say 1,000 years ago. The basic needs that we would all have would be what? Have a think, and then I might ask for some answers. So the basic needs, very general, not necessarily in church now. Basic needs of human beings are, and I'll give you a clue to where I'm coming from, there's three basic needs. Anyone can tell me what they think is any one of the three basic needs, just shout out. Water, yes, so food and water will go together. Clothing is the second of the three, and I think I heard it, shelter. Okay, so food, clothing, shelter. Now there's other needs, but those three were identified in a conference, the World Employment Conference in 1976, and they're still used today. Some people critique them and say that you need to add to them, and you can make a case for that, to add sanitation and to add education. But the three basic needs of any human, so if you look at Eleanor Shan or David Adrian, their needs are the same as ours. They need food, water, milk. They need clothing, and they need shelter. And whether we're 2 weeks or four decades, or however old we may be. Those are the three needs that we have. I went to a party yesterday with the children, but I told them it was wasn't a children's party, it was a man party, basically. So there wasn't very much there, wasn't cake, wasn't candles, there wasn't singing. We prayed before we had the food, we had some drink, and then we prayed for the birthday boy afterwards. It was quite a basic party. We're going to go to a party this afternoon, but it's going to be a children's party, so it's going to be quite different. And men and women are different, and that's highlighted in this first chapter, the chapter that Alistair read, and even some of the words that people have read also. Men and women have differences, and I'm not going to go into that today. I mean, Fred spoke to the men and the women separately at Ministry Camp, and if you haven't had an opportunity to listen to those sessions, I don't know quite how, I imagine we won't put them up online, because then the women would listen to the men's session and the men would listen to the women's. I asked the people in Tooting, Sally and I are the only married couple in Tooting, so we talked about, we used that as a point of reference for the first small group we had afterwards. And some of the women were quite keen to know what was said in the men's session. And we didn't tell them. We just said that there was one question, Fred told us this, because we were second. That the same question from the men, or the question, I guess, framed from a man's perspective, was also asked from a woman's perspective earlier on, when you had the women's session. It also talks in that chapter about seven women to one man, and again, some of the women in Tooting, they said sometimes church feels a bit like that ratio. It's not just particular to our church, it's probably true of the church in the West. I'm not sure it's 7-1, but it might feel like that. But I'm not going to go into that, because there's quite a lot there and I don't have the time or even the knowledge to do so. But what we can see from these two chapters, Isaiah chapter 3 and Isaiah chapter 4, and you'll see as we go through scripture briefly now, that all three of those basic needs in the spiritual are there. So let me just give you two scriptures before we start to explain where we're going. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, we often quote this verse. It says, God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. So life on earth, human life, basic life, whether we're here or in a desert or in an ice-capped country, wherever we may be, we have the same needs, and they are on a very basic level. Food, clothing and shelter. Those are the needs that we have. And so when Peter tells us that God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness, it's true in the natural and in the spiritual. So for the new children here, the new babies here, God has provided for them not only in the natural but also in the spiritual. And for each one of us, God's provided for us in the natural and in the spiritual. And then Paul says something, and read the full, not necessarily the whole chapter, it's quite a long chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, but just read around. But Paul says this, he says, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 46, the spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. So the natural comes first, and then comes the spiritual. Now, on a very basic level, that means, first of all, we have natural life, and only once we have natural life can we have spiritual life. When Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, you can read it in John chapter 3, Nicodemus thought, from his frame of reference, it's quite understandable, he wondered, he questioned, how can he go back a second time into his mother's womb? But Jesus wasn't saying that. Jesus was saying, first you're born in the natural, and then you need to be born in the spiritual. And the point about life is that it specifically points to God. Everything in the natural points to something in the spiritual. Birth in the natural points to birth in the spiritual. marriage in the natural points to the spiritual marriage between Jesus and the church. Death in the natural points to death in the spiritual. Everything in the natural points to something in the spiritual. So, it's not as if we need to separate our life. So we have spiritual side of our life and then a non-spiritual, natural, physical side of our life. Everything we do in the natural, everything we have in the natural, everything we are in the natural, points to something in the spiritual. And the natural comes first, just to help us. So, if you look at what Jesus taught when he was on earth, he taught parables. He taught through parables. He took something in the natural, whether it be seed, or fish, or whatever it may be, and sometimes he actually did something with them, but other times he pointed towards them and said, "See that? This is what God's showing you and telling you." So first comes the natural and then the spiritual. Why is it that way round? It's that way round so that we're pointed towards the spiritual. Because the spiritual is what's going to last. The natural isn't going to last. So Paul tells, I think Timothy, I need to check, that physical training is of some value. But it's only of some value because the bodies that we have will last maybe 70 years, maybe more, maybe less. But what we do in the spiritual will last for eternity. So if the basic needs that we have, we don't ignore them. Whether it's a tiny baby, or an older person, or those of us who feel we're in our prime, we all tend to our basic needs. And in the spiritual, we must do the same. So it's not a very complex sermon, it's quite simple in many ways. Just what are our basic spiritual needs? And I'm going to use verses from the chapters that we read just to point us towards those. And then the first basic need, I can't remember what, yeah, it was the first one given, it was water, food. Food and water together. Now we live in a temperate climate, so it's not that big of an issue for us, but if any of us maybe bring water elsewhere, food and specifically water are an issue. I mean, it's not necessarily to do with the climate, that's more perhaps to do with the clothing and the shelter that we have. But even so, it affects, the climate affects how much food and water we have around. So the first basic need that we have in the natural is food. And the first verse that was read to us earlier, Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 1, says this. And bear in mind the context about judgment, but God can't take something away unless he's already given it. And that's confirmed elsewhere in scripture, Job, first chapter of Job, towards the end of the chapter. Job says, when everything he had apart from his life and his wife was taken away. Everything he had, his wealth, his houses, his sons and his daughters. He said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Now God does that. He judges and he can take away that which he's given. But that's not the focus today. The focus is, what has God given? So what God has given, we can see from the first verse. The Lord Almighty is about to take from Jerusalem and Judah both supply and support. All supplies of food and all supplies of water. So this addresses the first basic need. The first basic spiritual need. The first basic spiritual need that we have is for food and water. And what does that mean? Well, think about the natural. We need to eat and to drink. And it's quite a simple point, but I didn't really learn it until I was at medical school. Some people say you are what you eat, and it's nearly true. It's not quite true, because between here, mouth, and the other end, there's a whole load of things, okay, that do lots and lots of different jobs. But it's basically a tube. It goes from one end to the other. So what we eat or drink can go in one end and come out the other. If you ever had a heavy meal after a long fast, you might understand, or talking about. But it's not what we eat that becomes part of us. It's only what we absorb. In other words, in this tube that runs from the top to the bottom, it's only what leaves that tube and enters our body that actually becomes part of us. So we are not what we eat, but we are what we absorb. Spiritually, the same is true. We can come to church, go to small group, even go to Bible school. We can receive in, can be visual or audio, but it can go straight out unless we absorb it, unless we make it part of us. And God's provided for us. He's provided for what we need. He knows our basic spiritual needs because He made us with those basic spiritual needs. And having made us with those basic spiritual needs, He's able to provide. Yaku and Erna have made a baby. And they're able to provide for the basic needs of that baby. Bob and Joe the same. And if you who are parents, those of us who aren't, we were made by those people who, due to the fact that we're here today, provided for our needs. I don't know your parents, I don't know your families, but I can say that. And God has already provided. Remember we started off with that. His divine power has given, past tense, has given us everything we need for life and godliness. God's given us everything that we need. What does it mean? It means that we don't add to the Bible because God's provided. We don't add our spin on the Bible. Now, obviously we hear sermons and we hear teachings and there can be differences of opinion, but we don't add to this book because everything that we need, teaching, training, instruction, rebuke, correction, everything we need is in there, encouragement as well. Everything we need is there. So we don't add to it. We don't add to it in terms of content, and we don't add in terms of taking what God's provided and then using human thought or human wisdom or human methodology even to somehow add to God's provision. We don't need to do that because God's provided everything that we need. Now just a couple of scriptures to highlight. Even in Isaiah, further on in chapter 12, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In the Old Testament, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And then Jesus explains a little bit more. If you remember the story of the woman at the well, when Jesus and his disciples were on the way to Samaria, and the disciples were a bit on a different planet, and later on in the chapter you can read it for yourself, John chapter 4, they thought Jesus was focusing on his basic physical needs, and actually he was saying, my food is to do the will of my Father. His focus was on the spiritual needs. Anything we do as church, don't forget our first value is passion for Jesus. We do serve people, so we have food and we have drink, but our focus, our purpose, our passion is in the spiritual, because we know that's going to last. So Jesus expands and he says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Imagine being able to drink water and it becomes a spring. Imagine you live in the desert, and then imagine, in the physical now, you live in the desert, you can drink water that becomes in you a spring, wells up to eternal life. Imagine that in the natural now, imagine it in the spiritual, and it's true. How do we do it? We keep on drinking. We can't just drink once. Okay, I've had some water, I've been fed watered by God's word, I'm going to be okay now, I'll have a spring inside of me. We need to keep on doing it. And some of us in Tooting, I'm a bit behind in terms of our Bible reading. Yaku said something in a Wimbledon service, and some of us have taken it up. Just reading through the Bible, actually it's been not rewritten, just reordered chronologically. And I'm halfway through now. We didn't start in January. But we need to keep on drinking. Eleanor Sharn or David Adrian, they can't have some breast milk to today, or some bottled formula milk today, and then expect to come to be okay in a month's time. We need to keep on taking it. And we're the same, we need to keep on taking it. God's supply is what we need. And then just a, almost an aside, but not quite. Often, I know we've not had pets. Sometimes I thought maybe God would teach us a few things by, before he gave us children, might trust us with a pet. We haven't, don't feel yet we could be trusted with pets. But we did have a few plants. We don't have a large garden, but we do have a small plot. And when we grow tomatoes, they have a supply system, which is soil, but they also have a support system. The support system on its own, what is a support system? It's a few cane rods. It doesn't, it's not really up to very much, but they do need it. Otherwise, it'll just be a mess. I'm not particularly green-fingered, but I can manage to plant tomatoes, some seed even, often saplings, whatever they might be called, and then grow them so that you can have fruit that you can eat. You need the support, but there's no good having support without supply. They need to be in the right soil, in enough soil, and soil that gives them what they need in terms of food and in water. Now God supplies us, he's our source, as we're in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 6. God is described as a source of strength. God is our source, God is our supply, but we need support. And that support comes in human form. That's why church is needed. If church wasn't here, then we'd perhaps, you know, be like tomato plants that just didn't stand up. If they don't stand up, they're not going to get the light into their leaves. If they don't get the light into their leaves, they're not going to photosynthesize and be able to produce fruit that's good. We need support. That's why we have, if we're large, we have districts, less size, the smaller size, and we have zones, and we have small groups, so that we can have that support. And God knows we need it. So don't forget, God made us. So God made Adam at the very beginning, but God said, even though he and Adam were quite close, so it's not good for man to be alone. So God was Adam's supply, God was Adam's source, but he still knew that Adam needed support. So it doesn't take away from who God is who he is, but he knows that one of our basic needs is for support. He's our supply, he's our source, but we need support. So any Christian who says, I'm okay with God, we're tight, we're close, we're cool, I don't need church, they're wrong. It's why we need church. Why we need each other. Church isn't some kind of God's afterthought any more than Eve was God's afterthought. Showing Adam what he needed, what he didn't have, and saying, I'm going to supply that need. Even a need that God from heaven wasn't able to meet. So he provided Eve to do that. God is our source, God is our supply. Sometimes we can go the other way, and the people who God gives us for support, whether it be a husband or a wife, or even other people in small group or church, we go to them for source or supply. It's wrong. They can't do that. They don't have it within themselves. Yaku doesn't have it within himself. Fred doesn't have it within himself. We go to God. We always acknowledge he is our source and he is our supply. We also need support. God knows that. It's right. It's necessary. But let's not confuse the two. So the first need is for food, including water. And Jesus said, if we drink, if we just go to him and read his word and say, what do you have to say? What do you want to say? Or even one step deeper than that, Lucille pointed out last year, is not even, God, what do you want to say? What word do you have for me? What's on your heart for me? even on a deeper level. When we read the Bible that way, then when what we're drinking becomes within us a spring that we can then drink from, and also other people can drink from. Our first basic spiritual need is for food, includes water. And then the second is clothing. So towards the end of chapter 3, so towards the end of the passage that Alistair read, again, the context is judgment, so God's taking it away, but God can't take anything away that he's not already given. And Isaiah says, in that day the Lord will snatch away their finery, the bangles and headbands and crescent necklaces, the earrings and bracelets and veils, the headdresses and ankle chains and sashes, the perfume bottles and charms, the signet rings and nose rings, the fine robes and the capes and cloaks, the purses and mirrors, and the linen garments and tiaras and shawls. Now, again, men and women might have different ideas of what the basic need for clothing is. I kind of like wearing clothes, but if my clothes get lost somewhere, I'm not too bothered, because I think someone else will find those and have those, and I'll find someone else's clothes. Having two brothers who are the same size as me helps. Even this suit, someone related to someone in Show Value, the suit they were married in, and it fits me well. So men and women sometimes have a bit of a different perspective. What are the basic needs of clothing? Do you need to have a new dress or suit for a wedding? Can you wear a wedding? And there's all kinds of things here. Rings, nose rings, earrings, nose rings, fine robes, capes, cloaks, purses, mirrors, linen garments, tiaras, and shawls. So if the alliteration helps you, so supply was the first one, source, and then this one, shawls, and sashes. But we have a basic spiritual need to be clothed. And how are we clothed? Well, baptism is one way. I'm not going to focus on that this morning. But Isaiah 61. So we're again within Isaiah. And it's a very well-known passage, and Fred even referred to it when he was here, and it was picked up when we had the last praise and worship evening. So if you weren't here, please come, it was great. I'll maybe say a little bit more later, but even if I don't, please do come. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, again, planting, for the display of his splendor. Why do we wear clothes? One of the reasons we wear clothes, as well as covering ourselves so that we're warm and modest, is to display. That's why we're not a very formal church, but Jack and I don't wear clothes to come and preach on a Sunday that we might wear to do something else as well on the weekend. We're not a formal church. We don't have a uniform or vestments, but even so, we recognise that sometimes we're on display, and all of us know that to a certain point. So clothing not only is to keep us warm and modest, but it's also a display. It says something about us. We had a bit of, and some people might say you know there's certain things you can and can't do, but in this country at least you're not told what to wear. If you want to make a statement, you can often make it by what you wear. But what does it mean to have the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair? We'll come back to that specifically. Just put to one New Testament passage which explains this quite well. It's in Colossians, and Paul's writing chapter 3, and he says this, just a few verses, 12 to 14. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, if we are God's people, holy and dearly loved, we are to clothe ourselves with, and it's a fivefold wardrobe: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. So if we're thinking about our basic needs, our spiritual wardrobe, what do we need? We need those five. We have to have those in the wardrobe. We need those five. Now there's more, and look at passages for the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and we'll find out in a bit more. There's more than five there, there's nine. Go to Galatians. And then we're told, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Grievances are taken as read. We're going to grieve each other. Now, sometimes we might do it intentionally, usually we don't. But we choose whether we can allow a grievance to become an offence. And the way we prevent a grievance from becoming an offence is by forgiving as God forgave us. It's quite hard, because we know some of the things that we can do, or not do. We know we don't meet our own standards. We know we do things, even after we've sat down, having done it, shouted at someone, a spouse, or a child, or a colleague, or a flatmate. Why did I do that? And we think, no, I'm not going to do that. And then we do it again. We know that God forgives us. And we're commanded in the same way to forgive others. And then listen to this. So those are five in our wardrobe. And then over all of those. So what cloak, what coat, what overcoat do we have? Over those five, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So some of us might spend a lot of time matching clothes, making sure they don't clash. But spiritually, over all of those five, we put on love. So it goes with each one of them. If you want to know, well, just think, what would love do? What does loving mean in this context? With a child who's wound me up by writing on the wall or the sofa, or a spouse who's done the thing that they know is going to irritate me, or a colleague who hasn't listened or followed the instruction, whatever the reason they think or we might think is the reason for that. So our clothes in the spiritual, okay, fivefold: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. We all need those five of those. And then over top of them, put on love. So if ever we're stuck, put on the cloak of love. What does it mean in its basic form? It often means just to forgive. If you love someone, you're willing to forgive them. God loves us and forgives us. And in the same way that God has forgiven us, we're commanded to forgive others. So that's the second basic needs. And then the third of the three basic needs is in the second chapter that was read, Isaiah chapter 4. Then the Lord will create over all of Mount Zion and over those who assemble there a cloud of smoke by day and a glow of flaming fire by night. Over all the glory will be a canopy. It will be a shelter and shade from the heat of the day, and a refuge and hiding place. Storm and rain. We have a basic spiritual need for shelter. We can also call it salvation if you think of it. You know, if you want some frame of reference, what does it mean? What does shelter mean if we're saved? Like, where do I say that? Psalm 32 and verse 7. You are my hiding place, you will protect me from trouble, and surround me with songs of deliverance. Just one more scripture, Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. We need shelter. From what? From trouble. Psalm 32:7. God will protect us from trouble. He is our hiding place. And the Israelites had what they needed when they were in the desert, so that they would have shelter and shade. Now, most of us, we think we're British, anyway. And there's a difference here, maybe, between in a temperate climate like ours. We think shelter. We think somewhere to come into out of the rain. But if, when we travel to two places we go to most often, like Pakistan and South Africa, and when we go there, then we don't think so much shelter rain, although Cape Town rain is something else for us. But we think shelter from the sun. So shade and shelter. Shade from the sun and shelter from the rain, from the storm, shelter and a shade from the heat of the day, and a refuge and hiding place from the storm and rain. Now, if we're saved, then we have that. We're in that hiding place. God will hide us. How does he hide us? When the devil accuses us, this is what you've done, and we know he's right, but then he goes further, and he says, and because of that, you're not forgiven. Because of that, you're not really a Christian. Because of that, you're condemned. He accuses us, and then he steps beyond the line. God hides us by saying, no, because of Jesus and what he did on the cross, because his blood, his life was perfect. We hide behind his blood. And we remember that when we have communion. We're forgiven because of what Jesus did. So the enemy can say, you've done this and that. And it might be true. But when he accuses us, then he steps beyond the line. And we say, no, I'm not accused because I'm hidden. So God accepts Jesus, his sacrifice, as perfect, as someone who didn't sin, on our behalf. And that answers his righteousness. That meets his requirements. God will hide us. And in Psalm 32:7 surrounds us with songs of deliverance. When we didn't have, as far as I was aware, there was no particular agenda when the last time we got together here on a Friday evening. Obviously the band had certain songs in mind, but God delivered. And usually we just for practical reasons this morning, we're having this sermon before. But God wants to deliver us, and often his deliverance will come through songs, if we're willing. If we're willing to be led by someone. Maybe it's to sing a song like a child, and we just get over to be delivered from our fear of people. That what will they think of me if I do? Well, we're not singing to them. We're singing to God. And when we met last time, there was deliverance that happened. It wasn't necessarily a big show. But if we're willing to be hidden by God, then two things. The first thing, and this came out that evening, he sings over us. And then the second thing we sing, we can sing our own songs of deliverance. People have victory songs. Supporters of teams have victory songs. When we sing, we're declaring the victory that we have. It's actually not just the declaration of victory, but it's actually also part of our warfare. If you've done Liberty, you'll know. If you haven't, then look out for the next time we do. We might not call it Liberty, we used to call it Foundation 4, but whatever it becomes, look out for that. Don't miss it. But if you want maybe just a taster, then come along on the 4th of October. I'm going to stop and leave, but just two questions to ask. What is it that you most need? That's the first question to ask. Where maybe am I lacking? Have I not hidden myself under God's shelter? Do I even take for granted my salvation? Or clothing, do we just, in the spiritual almost think we can go through life just wearing whatever we want, being however we want to be? Or do we recognize that God's given us a warning? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, and the cloak that goes over all of them. It's love. Or food, have we maybe just neglected reading God's word? Do we take it seriously? Do we realize that we need to feed our spirits in the same way, to the same extent, with the same attention to detail even, that we feed our bodies, with a balanced diet. Not just the parts of scripture that we like, but also the parts that we don't like. Because in the same way that greens are good for us, reading about judgment, it might not be so pleasant in the ears, but it is good for us, we need to know. And then once you've answered that question, or as you answer that question, also ask, what do you have with which you can support others? What is it? your small group leader and you need to do that in a formal way or not. Maybe you're good at reading scripture and you can ask someone to join you in reading a book. You don't have to start the whole Bible, although it's not difficult. It sounds a bit much to read the Bible in a year. But how much effort do we pay? How much effort do we make? How much money do we pay? How much time do we give to feeding our bodies? Most of us, I think, give probably more than half an hour a day. It's not really that much to give half an hour a day to reading scripture. So what are our needs? Basically, we need food, we need to feed our spirits. We need to clothe ourselves in the spiritual. We need to be sheltered in the spiritual. Where might we be lacking? And how can we support them in the band that's going to come? But let's all stand, and I'll leave very, very soon. But even as you continue in praise and worship, as you continue in praise and worship, allow God, allow Holy Spirit just to minister however he wants to minister, and receive what God has for us. He knows what we need. He knows whether it's encouragement or correction. He knows. And some of us might, you know, we might even be as if we're ill. We need a dietitian. Well, he knows what part of scripture we need to receive. He knows what we need to have from him. So let's just have a few moments of quiet.